live from the Third Coast. It is our time to focus on where genealogy and spirit connect. A time to focus on our connection with ourselves and our past. Here's your host, Susan E. King.
Well, good afternoon, good morning, good evening, depending upon where you're located in this great earth of ours. We've got a wonderful show planned for today because we are getting ready to move into a new year, into 2011. And as you know, the topic of this show is where genealogy and spirit connect. And one of the things that is so very important, I believe, and you can talk to many healers and mediums and other people that deal with dead people, which I think we do, is how important it is to literally connect with our ancestors and to obviously do our own genealogy so that we can do that. So we have from Israel a return guest with Daniel Horowitz from MyHeritage.com. Welcome, Daniel.
Hi, Susan. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be again here with you.
Well, we are so happy to have you, and I know that MyHeritage is one of the premier sites for helping people start their genealogy and work on their genealogy and get their families involved in doing their genealogy. So I thought it would be very important as we begin to cycle into next year and to the importance of connecting with our past to let MyHeritage give us an update on what you all have been doing for the last year, because it's been that long since we've had a chance to chat.
That's right. We had to chat last time. It was September last year, and we have done a lot of things since then to help all the people through the website and through our software to connect to each other and to find relative, living or dead relatives.
There you go. So it's important to connect with living relatives too.
To find the dead ones. That's usually the path you go.
It is, and I have to laugh because I think there are probably only about three professions in this world that deal with dead people at the scale that we do, and that's the genealogists, the mediums, and the funeral directors, right?
Yeah, pathologists also.
But, you know, I was looking at your website over the course of the last week, and, you know, one of the things that really popped out at me, Daniel, is that the website currently has over 635 million individuals, and you have people that have posted over 16 million trees. And that's pretty substantial numbers as far as
Yes. Yeah, and we have been growing a lot during not only the last year, but since the December 2009 when we acquire a couple of companies. And also we are promoting and we're encouraging our regular users to invite other family members and to help them collaborate to build their family trees. And it has proved that it's really working, and it's the only way to grow the family tree in the way people have been doing it.
And, you know, one of the things, too, is that your user base is very cross many nationalities. And, you know, most of the people that live in the United States, for example, do have family that originated, in fact, have family that originated in other places. So one of the exciting things, I think, is the fact that there are people who are researching their families who still live in some of these places that our ancestors came from.
Not only that, but I have to remind you and all the people here in the program that MyHeritage is translated in 36 languages. So
wow.
If somebody in the States will build a family tree in English and somebody in the old country will want to see it in their German, Polish, Dutch, Hebrew, Greek, even Chinese, Japanese, we have also Asiatic languages, they will see everything and they will be able to interact with the website in their own languages, and that's fundamental for people to understand and to communicate.
That's really very powerful. You know, when I got involved in the internet-based genealogy, and we're going back almost 30 years, 25 years, the communications and the languages was one of our biggest barriers. And to see what has really happened over the last 20 years with the internet is just mind-boggling.
Yeah, it's incredible that today you can write an email, and in less than 5 minutes, the email is already in the other side of the world, translated with any of the tools that we provide or the internet provide, and the other person can write you back, and 5 minutes you have the answer. I still remember when we used to write letters, and then you need to wait months till you get the answer. By the time you get the answer, you don't know if the other person was still alive.
And, you know, we still have to do that when we are writing to some of the clerks of the district courts here in the States. They require everything be in snail mail writing. And, it certainly does slow progress down, might I say. So,
yeah, but you know what, Susan? It's also very important, and I will speak a little bit more about it later on the program. Those letters are also very important because those are the source of the information. And if we really want to start our journey and try to find those relatives and learn what happened with them and learn the history, we still need those sources and we need those letters. So it's also very important when those clerks and people are keep diarying and writing books and letters. It's a wonderful source of information.
It really is, and in some cases, it's the only source of information. But, you know, a lot of people, say, well, you know, how do I get started? And I think one of the things that MyHeritage has is a way for people to, download a family tree program that will integrate directly with your website. And I thought it might be a wonderful opportunity for us to discuss your new family tree builder.
Well, let me tell you that I'm very excited about it because it has really the latest tools to help all those people, as you said, the newbies in genealogy. And a lot of time I am lecturing in different genealogy societies or even going to conferences. And you can see new people coming into this field of genealogy, desperate to know, where do I start? And it's really very simple, and not everybody realizes that the first step should be always to start writing what you know about your family, about yourself, and putting on a family tree. Because that family tree is going to be like the index of your whole research. You will know exactly what branch you need to research. It will tell you which countries you will need to research, what decades or what events in the world you will have to research. So that's the key part. And as you said, MyHeritage gives you the two options, either to start it on the website directly or to download the free software, the Family Tree Builder, which has been already more than 6 years since we released it in 2004. And we just last week, if I remember correct, I don't know, my head there's already, it's still spinning with all this. But I think it was last week we released the version 5 of this program. And it's really built thinking and hearing all what genealogies, the newbie people ask for a software to have. So yes, I mean, definitely I will recommend people to download and start putting all their names, all the dates and places that they know, start building their family tree. And then they will start getting a direction where to do. And the first thing I would like to emphasize about the new program is that we added a to-do list where you can write all the tasks that you need to do, and you can sort them by importance or by places, by location, which is very important. Because if you're planning to go to a cemetery and you may have more than one branch of the family buried in that cemetery, for example, you don't want to go a couple of times because, oh, I forgot that from my mother's side I have people over there, and from my father's side I also have people. So once you start writing all the tasks that you need to know to do, if, for example, you are missing a date and you know that you can have that in a death certificate, for example, then there is a task to do that you can keep track. And not only that, but you can connect task with different people. Because if you have people that were born in the same place and you are going to write that letter to the clerk to get the birth certificate, you pretty much will want to write one letter with all the people that was born in that particular place. So you can attach different people and different places to one task. You can print it, you can save it in a file on your computer outside of the software, for example. And you can go with that list, like a shopping list, a supermarket list. You can go with your genealogy list of tasks, and you can keep track of all the research that you need to do. And it's very, very handy.
So before we go a whole lot further, the website is www.myheritage.com. That's myheritage.com. So if anybody's listening and wants to direct themselves to the particular website and even start downloading the software, feel free, because we're going to talk a little bit about that and some of the other tools that are available. So might as well, go to the website and follow along.
That would be great. Now, so, the other...
Go ahead. One of the things that I was, I lost my train of thought. I do this a lot lately. This is what happens, Daniel, when you start getting older.
Well, let me help you here with the next tool that we incorporate on the Family Tree Builder, which is some concern that everybody has today, which is privacy. We got a lot of questions and a lot of people asking for us to improve our privacy settings. In previous versions, you could set that one person was private, and then that person information will not go into the website, which, by the way, if you're working with the software, you will be getting a website where you can publish your research for free. But sometimes, you know, you have that person, that particular person that don't want his information on the internet, or for any personal reason, for example, if there was, I don't know, in my family, for example, you have divorces, you have good people, bad people, good people doing bad things and bad people doing good things. So you don't want to share all the secrets of the family with everybody, or with other members of your family. So what we did here is would we create a special command tool or privacy settings page where I can say exactly not only which person or I don't want to go public, but I can privatize a specific fact of that person. So if, for example, I can only think of the example of an aunt that doesn't want to reveal his age. So she will not tell you the birthday, right? So you can ask her for the birthday and you can have that information, and you can just set that date as private. And that information will not be available for the other people in the family. So the secret will be very good keep.
That's terrific, because that, you know, privacy is one of the biggest issues, I think, that we've all grown up with in the genealogy world as it has expanded as it has onto the internet.
This also applies not only for facts, as I said, or for specific people. I can also set like one fact, for example, divorce for everybody in the family. So no information about divorce will be public. Or, for example, notes, because sometimes somebody reveals a secret to us and we want to record that information. So we can write a note on the person and we can set that that note will be private. Now, the other very cool thing about privacy here is that not only the information will not go into the website, but if you are doing a chart or you are doing a report, and I will go further on that subject in just a couple of minutes, but it's something that it's a great gift, especially now during the holidays, to give some loved ones a chart or a report about their part of the family. You can also privatize that piece of information on the chart. So you can be completely sure that that secret will be kept secret till you decide it.
That is really wonderful, because I know that there was a time when I had probably a handful of people that had contacted me once I put my research up on one website, and every time I updated it, it was a nightmare. Because I had to literally go back to some handwritten notes and literally remove the data from the GEDCOM file before I uploaded it. So it was, kind of a very difficult thing to do, and probably why my data hasn't been uploaded in a long time.
Not only that, but I'm still receiving some GEDCOMs, which has been privatized by other softwares. And it's really very frustrating when you see a GEDCOM or you open the program and you see like information about five people and all the rest are like unknown. And you said, wait, but what happened with all these people? You don't know anything about this? No, yeah, I know, but some things I don't want to share. And then they close all the information, all the privatize all the information, so you will not get anything passed to other people. And it's also very important, Susan, especially again for all those new people coming into genealogy, to understand that you need to get a balance, because yes, you are dealing with information about living individual, but the only way that your family, or especially your family and other people, will be able to find you and to help you with your research is by publishing the information, make it available for people to find it. And let me remind you and everybody else that MyHeritage has already for a long time a feature called a smart match, which means that every person that you put on into the website or into the software will be compared to those millions of family trees that you mentioned. We have 16 million family trees and about 600 and something million profiles. And we may find a match with that, with our database, and we may put you in contact with another person researching the same branch or the same people of your tree. And that is very important to help people finding their roots.
You know, as a professional, Daniel, there is so many cases that other people's trees have helped us solve. And, knowing where to go and knowing all the various sites where trees are housed is very important. And, the other half of it, which is probably one of my biggest pet peeves, is, some of the misinformation too that gets perpetuated from one tree to the other. So you have to literally you know, research further once you find matches to make sure that, it is indeed the same person. I was just dealing with a client this morning that his cousin had his great-great-grandfather living in one place in 1850, in the 1850 census, and, you know, we had him living in another place, and we know that he was in the place where we had him, and this other one had him linked to another father, and we had just been able to link this particular individual to the real father. And, you know, when we go back onto the websites that you know, this particular individual's research is, you know, it's wrong. And you know, so you can perpetuate, you know, misinformation. So it's also important that when you do publish your work, that you try to publish that which is accurate, and that which you're not sure of, it's kind of best to not, because it does get perpetuated very quickly on the internet. And that's, one of the downsides of this.
Yeah, but that's why also it's very important to keep track of your sources.
Exactly.
And I mean, I have found wrong sources, and they are wrong censuses, and they are wrong birth certificates, they are wrong tombstones. Okay, and it's very important, because then when you go and you try to compare, and you try to remember, where did I took this date from, or this place from? Okay, and as you said, you will have to go through all your paperwork. So what we do here in the software end, also on the website, and this is also one of the new things that we are working and about to release just in a couple of days on the website, the sourcing on the website also. And the important thing here is that you will be able to put not only a citation of the information that you have, and of course the source with the place and the name and all the fields that you need to write about the source to make it accurate, but you can also put an image of the source. So if you have a page of the census, for example, or if you have a birth certificate, you can digitalize that piece of paper and put it into the source. So when you go to the source, or you want to speak with somebody about the information and you want to compare notes, you don't have to go back to all those pieces of papers and your archives and try to think, where did you put that birth certificate? You can simply go to the source and see where the citation was taken, and see the image, the actual image of the page. You can also get a report of all the sources and all the citations that you are having, and you can export also that report, and you can take one source, for example, and see all the places where you have been using that source. And in my personal case, where my family, most of all the branches of my family come from what is today Ukraine, between Romania and Ukraine, the border, a city named Chernovets, and the surroundings. It's very funny when you are trying to go over your research and look what steps you are missing, what information you are missing, and you're going over your sources, and then you realize that you have been using the same source for different branches of the family. And people were always connected since many generations back. They didn't know that a couple of years afterwards, people are going to get married and are going to have kids, and they're going to be more connected than they were before. But it's also very, very useful to have track and to keep track of the sources. Sometimes you can also have different sources that tells you different information for a particular fact. So it's also very, very useful in that sense.
And, you know, for those of you who haven't been in the genealogy world, this is the time to start your genealogy. It is so much easier and you know, to work with than what we do. Daniel, I'm been spending as much time as I can going through four file cabinet drawers of papers that I copied off of microfilm over the, many, many, many years, and, you know, getting rid of those that I have that I don't need anymore, and getting them off of websites that I can, so that I can paperless my office. I mean, it is we can amass a lot of papers, and the beauty of genealogy today is that we can do it in a very organized and really succinct way, and make it available to many, many, many people, and to both help ourselves and help others make the connection. And it's just a phenomenal change in the field that we've seen over the last, 10, 15 years, I guess, pretty more specifically. So, you know, you were talking about the smart search, and I think is probably one of the most incredible tools, and I've used it a couple of times on some of my projects where I've just kind of dead-ended myself, and lo and behold, I always seem to find something that I couldn't find manually going through a host of different sites. So tell us a little bit more about it.
Well, yes, Family Tree Builder is still have his, as I said, the Smart Match, which looks into our own database, but it also have the Smart Research, as you mentioned, and we have polished it just a little bit with sites and more databases. And what we do is we take your whole tree and we start looking into different and the biggest genealogy databases out there. The same procedure, the same way you will normally or manually will do, but of course, because we do it through the computer, you can just leave it running while you sleep, and it's also, of course, a little bit faster than going into each website and typing all the names. So we will give you hints of where and how many results we got from the different databases, and we are looking into Ancestry, Family Search, War Vital Records, all kind of the biggest genealogy databases. Also, for London or UK, there is a BMD database that we're searching. Find My Past, that also have a lot of records from the old country. And let me just speak for a couple of minutes to all those old researchers, and I'm not talking about age, please. I consider myself with 39 years an old researcher. I have been researching my family with more than 15 years already. And, you know, doing the test for this version that we just released, I went over all my sources, and I went over the Smart Research, and I redid almost all my research again. And it's incredible that after 15 years, I'm still finding pieces of information that I didn't have, or that I had but didn't record it. And precisely when I put that piece of information, that give the program the clue or the piece that was missing to tell me, oh, listen, now I can tell you that in this database I found this person, which is really your relative. Because something very important here is that we do not look only for name and last name. So, you know, oh, your name is Daniel Horowitz. Oh, we have another 5,000 Daniel Horowitz in the world. We have a match. It doesn't work like that, okay? It needs to compare dates. It needs to compare places, surrounding family members, to make sure that it's really a match. And that is the advantage of the software, and that's the advantage of using computers these days. The other thing that I need to tell, that besides the Smart Research results, which is a premium feature, all the features that we have on Family Tree Builder, the new features, are completely free. And this is something very important. This is the first time we are doing a release with all the new features completely free.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty exciting. And, you know, because a lot of people ask, you know, how expensive is it to start doing genealogy? Or, you know, it's a wonderful hobby, and so much of it can be done on the internet today. And, you know, and so yeah. many things are free.
But so. Not only that, but also, Susan, let me go back a little bit how we start the conversation today about how to tell people how to do the research and how to do things. And although the genealogy community is very particular, because if you go to a genealogy society meeting, you will find a lot of people giving you advices for free just because we are nice, I will say. And we'd like to help each other. So with the same mentality, FTB 5 or Family Tree Builder 5 was built and was compiled. For example, we create a chart wizard, which means that you select one person and in two clicks you can do almost any chart that you would like. And we also include very nice charts like the hourglass chart, which is simply beautiful to see two branches of the family of a marriage together with all the descendants and ancestors, or the bow tie or close family, for example, and you can select how many generations. And we have included some wonderful and beautiful styles of charts where you can choose from, and different fonts, and we have all kind of borders and letters, and also borders not only for the chart itself, but for the person and for the picture of the person. And this is also very important. When you are building your family tree, please put in pictures of the people that will help you see the faces, and that will help you connect better with the people you are trying to research. So once you create that chart, and you can create as many charts as you want, you have first the option to save it, and that can be on a JPEG format or even better on a PDF. And for those who are not familiar with the PDF, that's a format that Acrobat Reader allows you to open in almost any computer, and allows you also to print that chart in almost any size. And we have included all these borders and all these types and styles in a high resolution images. So you can take that chart and you can send it either by email, or you can print it in your home printer or whatever you want. But not only that, we went one step further, and from as low as $20, you will be able to print that chart that you are having on the software on almost any material and also any dimensions, and you can do a poster, and you can send it as a gift, especially now during this holiday time. If you want to give a real nice present to somebody in your family, I'm already done a couple of them, and we did some tests and we send it to different parts of the world. People are really astonished when they receive a tube on the mail, completely protected, and they just open that, and they have a huge 2, 3, 4 meters long family tree with colors, with photos, with beautiful designs and backgrounds, and even with pictures that you have from your family. You can use a picture of your family as a background, and that gives a really special touch to the present that you are giving to some people. And you will see that most of the people that receive those charts and receive that information immediately will contact you, not only to take you to thank you, but more important, which is your goal, to tell you that you are missing some information. Okay? And people will get, you know, listen, this is beautiful. Thank you very much. But you have here my cousin and you're missing his birth date or Uncle Sam dead place, which was in this place in New York or the States or wherever. So it's very important also to engage other members of the family into the genealogy research. And again, from starting from only $20, it really makes a wonderful present. People can try as much charts as they want for free and then decide which one is the one that they're sending as a poster.
And, you know, you mentioned this as a gift, and I can't tell you how many you know, projects that we complete around this time of year for people who want a family history book or posters or, you know, really a documentation for their children or their parents. Or it's pretty amazing, and it's a wonderful gift, and it's something that's very special. And if you're doing the work yourself, it's, you know, it's almost like, you know, baking cookies. Type
well,
of a gift. You don't
have
to go out and buy, you know, presents. It's a wonderful gift because it's very personal, and it's really something I believe that's very important for everybody to know, and that's where they came from.
Well, Susan, I have to confess myself. I'm a very good fan of The Simpsons, and I liked very much a phrase that Lisa Simpson said one time, that if a tree falls down in the middle of the forest but nobody heard the tree falling, if it really made noise. And you can apply that also to genealogy. You can have a wonderful research with all the information of all your relative, but if you don't share it with other people, what is the goal to have all this information only for yourself? You need to share it, and you have to show them to people in your family, and they will be pleased to help you.
And, you know, the other thing, too, is you will be amazed when you first get started that, you know, you start with your parents and your grandparents, and which is where I started some 30-odd years ago, and how, you know, from a handful of people that I knew, Daniel, my database is over 42,000 people. So it's pretty amazing.
I believe you. I'm pretty sure now a lot of people is saying, what? I will never get there. And they don't realize. They don't realize how many people they know and how many people they have in their family. They said, no, I will never get there. Yeah, you will. Slowly but surely.
Right. So what would you say is, why do you think people are so interested in doing genealogy today? Because, I mean, you know, you're sitting there with 16 million trees and, you know, that put up by that many users. And, you know, what do you think or, you know, is the reason that people are so interested in genealogy today?
I have to say that, and we already mentioned it, the internet and the computer and the technology that we have today is definitely one of the factors that facilitate for people to record and to search for information. In the same way, archives being open and being digitalized, being indexed, so you can go in through the internet 12 o'clock at night from your house, like myself in Israel, and you can go into the archives of Ireland and find all the people that went into a particular boat from Ireland to the United States. That facility, it's what make people go and try to find more relative. Now, there is also something that we all genealogists need to thank, and I think that the phenomenon of the Who Do You Think You Are television show, and not only that, but I don't know how many of you know, in London, which I'm honored to have been invited to speak last year and again this year in February, they do a huge genealogy or family history event. And that facility to get close to the people who does genealogy and to see in the television that you can also do that and you can also find the information and that it's not that difficult. It's very encouraging. I have been working the last week on the plan for the next year of conference. The amount of conferences that we have this year is bigger than any other. You have conference in Ohio, you have the New England conference, of course you have the very big ones like NGS and FGS, which is National Genealogy Societies and the Federation of Genealogical Societies. Family Search in Salt Lake City this year also, it's starting with the RootsTech conference, specially dedicated to technology. So technology, conferences, television, all this facilitates the communication between people and give the tools to people to do the research. Now, the back thing of this is that you get flooded also with a lot of information. And going back again to the sources, you may get a different type of information for the same fact or for the same person. And you may start building your family tree with wrong information or with things that are not always correct. And for that, I have to introduce you to a wonderful tool we add to this family tree builder, which is the tree consistency checker. And we took 40 categories of things like you will never imagine. For example, if the kid is too old for the age of the parents, sometimes you don't realize you put the birth date after the death of the parents. Or maybe you put the birth date of the kid when the father was only 12 years old, because that's what the paper says. And again, you have to collect the information, but not always because the paper said that is the truth. A lot of people just lie on their age for army or escape from the war or all kind of events. So this tree consistency checker will give you a list of possible mistakes that you have in your tree, and we will also tell you how to fix it. Because if somebody points you that, you know, you have something wrong over there, but you don't have a clue how to fix it or where to go to find the correct information, it's more or less useless. So we build this checker in a very nice report where you also get the face of the person with the photo of the person and the exact error. Sometimes, for example, in my family, I have a case with three kids have different last names. And I don't know how many of you know that, but in Russia, when the first kid was exempt to go to the army, the second kid usually took the name of the mother. So it would be registered under a different last name. But for us genealogy, if you have two kids from the same father, they should have the same last name. So this is only a couple of the things that this tree consistency checker will look for you, and it does it very, very fast. Actually, right now I am checking on my tree because I would like to mention, for example, that we check also for other facts that may occur before or after the birth or the date. As I said, sibling ages, sibling with the same names, spouses with large different ages, somebody married too young, somebody married too old. Also, when you tag people in a photo, and just remind people about Family Tree Builder, allows you to tag pictures to the different people so you will know exactly where and who is on each photo. So if you tag somebody on a photo that was taken before the birth of the person, that will jump as an error. And then you can go through this report one by one, and you can fix it, and we will tell you also what to fix. Now, something very important, Susan, here, and talking a little bit about the future of genealogy and what society, how society is built today, we allow and we don't show as an error if you have a same-sex marriage. Okay, you can declare same-sex marriages with no problem, and we will understand that. That and another few things that I'm pretty sure my great-grandmother will be red
face. Turning over in her grave is what you mean.
What is going on the family.
Yep, things have definitely changed. You know, and too, I mean, you know, there are skeletons in every family, and I think a lot of people, there are some people that I've heard have shied away from doing genealogy because they're afraid of what they might turn up. And, you know, from a spiritual point of view, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, it's better understanding, and as we begin to learn about ourselves and we begin to learn about, you know, our family members. And as you mentioned, Daniel, I think very succinctly, you know, the bad people did what, how did you put that? Mm-hmm. That was really very nice. I love that.
Yeah. I mean, we need to understand that we are dealing here with human people. And as long as people are happy and they are not causing any damage to other people, they are not hurting other people. I mean, you need to understand other, but you still will have people that will really want to know and really will want to investigate your genealogy and make sure that you are relative. And you asked me before about why is this wave suddenly of people, so many people trying to do genealogy and interested in that. One of the fields also that I didn't mention, and it's related to technology maybe, it's DNA.
Absolutely.
Today it's very easy and very inexpensive to do a DNA test, and we are not talking here about criminal DNA or paternity test to make sure that this is your son or this is the person who it means to tell. But people are doing also all kind of, especially with the surnames. I belong to the Horowitz DNA group, and we have a lot of people doing DNA tests and compare their results and try to see if we are really match and how many generations and if we have a connection. And also a lot of programs have included the DNA test on their records.
Exactly.
But let me tell you this, which is kind of my little baby, because I think that really we need a space to store every small detail that you have, including this coming wave of DNA. We have included more than 10 companies of the ones that you can find in the market. And we collect all the possible tests that those 12 companies are doing. And we design a special window where you can record the DNA information from any of those tests that you or anybody else did in your family.
Wow.
So now DNA is part also of genealogy, and people need to understand that. And now you also have a place to record. Now this, as I said, we are not the first ones to put the DNA markers recorded, but we are the first ones to do empty DNA. And for those who are not familiar with DNA, you can have your DNA from your mother or from your father. The father part will be Y DNA. and the mother part will be empty DNA. And we are the first software that allows you to record empty DNA, mother's DNA. And we also, again, going with the user by the hand. We don't not only put you fields to put the, whatever information you think or you have from the company you receive from your DNA test, but we also give you the possibilities of that result. So if, for example, a marker can only have results like from 9 to 12 because the results are always numbers, okay? So you will not be able to type in a 25 over there, and that would be impossible because that marker doesn't have the value 25. It only goes from, like, as I said, from 2 to 10, let's say. So again, we are helping you to record in the best possible way, the most efficient and the most accurate way, all the information that you have, including this very new field to, about the DNA markers.
Yeah, that's really very exciting because, yeah, I've been a strong proponent of DNA for genealogy since its inception almost 11 years ago, I think. Very much involved in DNA testing for people, and especially when the paper trail ends. And, you know, I have several clients including my own family, Daniel. My mother was adopted, and there are no records. I've been to Chicago. I've had the judge unseal her adoption records, and there's nothing.
There's nothing there, yeah.
Nothing.
I heard about things like that. And it's very frustrating.
It really is.
Probably a DNA test will be the only way. And I know that people are very loved friend of mine. I made last year in the West Coast when I was lecturing over there. She just find through the DNA that her real family, that she was adopted and the real family was living in New York. And through the DNA test, she could check and verify that and find those people.
So it really, I mean, you know, a lot of people I've heard, you know, don't start because they, you know, can't get past their father or can't get past their mother. And, you know, there are tools available today for everybody to really, you know, work backwards and to learn more about, you know, where they came from. I mean, you know, this is a pretty, very ancient modality. I mean, you know, it goes back to the Bible.
Yeah, but it works.
It does, and it's, you know, really, 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 I find it very exciting, and I mean, I think that once people get going, they just get really excited, because it's like being a private investigator, you know, and you're investigating, and you're sleuthing, and, you know, when you find that first document, and you look at it, and you either see someone's signature, or you know, you see where they were living in, you know, 1870 or 1850, and it's a pretty phenomenal experience, I think. I remember my first find. I just, you know, was just like a little kid in a candy store.
That's when you're bitten by the genealogy bug.
There you go. It is definitely a bug.
And then you're loose.
Yeah. Then, yeah, God help you, right?
Yeah. But it's really, really exciting. I mean, I think that every genealogy remembers that not only the first one, but every piece of information, every document that you acquire, and every clue that you got from a different person, and suddenly you just got a new name and a new generation back, and it's really funny.
It really is. And you know, the other thing too is that, you know, I think I shared this with you on our last call, but, you know, I got involved in genealogy because of finding family members in a cemetery plot and asking my father who were these people, and my father could not give me any answer. He'd never heard of them either, and that bothered me greatly. So, you know, it's really nice to know that at least on your site there are 635 million people who have been documented. I don't know what kind of percentage that is of all the people who have lived on, you know, and served time on this in this life. But
in this life, yes.
You know, it really bothered me greatly that people can, you know, be born and live a life and be forgotten so quickly. And I don't know why that bothered me so much, but it did. And that was 30 years ago. And I've spent the last 30 years of my life dedicated to this field. So, you know, nobody should be forgotten, in my opinion.
Yeah, you're completely right. But let me tell you something else that also bothers me. And this is something that can happen also to new ones or old genealogists, which is getting duplicates on the research. And for that, we also include a check for duplicate, where we scan all your family tree and we analyze every person that you put over there, and we suggest you if this person is duplicate or not. And when you are typing new people into your family tree, we will also alert you if this person is already in your tree. And believe me, with the amount of people we have, I mean, you mentioned a great number. I thought that 7,000 on my tree were too much, but you already have way beyond myself. And you don't always remember exactly who you put in.
No, you
and
don't.
That's also why you need to keep also good reports. Let me just tell you that, and I couldn't find any predefined report with all the fields that I wanted to create. So I just went back to Gilad and I said, listen, there is a problem. You need to create a custom report. So you can now do it and you can select the fields and you can keep track of all your genealogy with this and a lot of other new features included in this version of the Family Tree Builder.
Daniel, we have run out of time. Can you believe it? I don't know where the hours go. But what a delight to have you back. And hopefully the audience will take a good look at www.myheritage.com, download their newest software, and get involved in genealogy. Whatever you know today, put it on paper, give it away for Christmas or the holidays, and it's a wonderful gift, and especially for those who are tight on budgets this year. We got to go. We're going to see you next week. Daniel, thank you from Israel. We really enjoyed it.
Bye-bye, Susan. Thank you, and again, I agree with you. Go do genealogy, try the software, do things for free that we have plenty of them, and give us our feedback.
There you go. Till next week, this is Susan King, where genealogy and spirit connect.
You have been listening to Where Genealogy and Spirit Connect with Susan E. King. Each week we will focus on the spiritual journey of connecting ourselves with our ancestors. Join us every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific right here on BBS Radio. For upcoming show information, you can visit Susan's website at www.susaneking.com.